are listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss, 30 powerful minutes aimed at helping you and your family better understand a topic that touches everyone in our community in some way. Shining a Light on Memory Loss is sponsored by the Benson Area Memory Loss Network.
Hello and welcome. This is Laura Thomas. I'm a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and your host for the show. One question we often hear is, what is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease? The answer is that dementia is a general term and Alzheimer's is a specific type of dementia. Between 60 and 80% of dementia is diagnosed as Alzheimer's, so it is the most common. We are going to hear more about dementia now, as we are privileged to have as our show's first guest, the recently retired Dr. Richard Horica, who, in his words, had the honor of caring for the people in Benson for almost 40 years. We are going to learn about some of the warning signs of dementia and conversations they would lead to in Dr. Horica's office. He'll share some of his practical tips for living with dementia. And finally, we'll learn about the importance of lifestyle choices and how the decisions we make when we're younger can impact our later years. Welcome, Dr. Horica. What were some of the warning signs of memory loss that would lead to people talking to you about their concerns?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and to be greeting all those patients of mine who are wondering what's happened to me since I retired a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, dementia is first of all, a general term that is used by medical folks and others to indicate a variety of different conditions that impair one's memory. And so I often had patients come in saying, I have a hard time remembering names, or I have a hard time remembering when I went to the grocery store, everything on my list. And so that concern, especially if they have family members, elderly parents, aunts and uncles who truly have dementia, that they were developing the same condition. And so that's kind of where the discussion usually started. And granted, memory difficulties, especially recalling information that you have recently heard or acquired, recent memory can be very difficult in this situation. Other things include disorientation. In other words, you get in your car to drive to the grocery store and you have a hard time finding your way back home again. Organizing your thoughts or your life, you've had this recipe you've used for years and all of a sudden you can't bake the cake anymore. You need help to do that. Mm-hmm. There are personality changes. Many people lose their interest in eating and have nutritional issues. Those are all symptoms that we look for in a person who has dementia. Now, of all the people who come in and say, I'm afraid that I do, the vast majority of those people do not have dementia because we all forget things. We all have trouble with faces and names sometimes, but generally speaking in those situations, if you can concentrate for a while, you can figure them out. If you have dementia, they're gone. You don't figure them out again. And so there are some differences. I've kind of tongue-in-cheek said, if you're well enough to worry that you have dementia, you probably don't, at least not in a full-blown case. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's very subtle when it first comes on, and so it's hard to know early on in most cases if that's the case or not. Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, some concerns may be just aging-related changes, but as dementia progresses, the warning signs become more and more clear, obvious.
Yeah, I describe those early changes we all have as having a crowded brain. Mm. You know, you assume, you perceive and you process items every single day of your life. Mm-hmm. And every bit of information you have comprehended gets stuck in your brain someplace. Mm. And that happens kind of without us having to think about it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes you put it away and you don't remember where you put it in your brain as well. And Some of that is normal. Some of that has to do with other factors ongoing at the time that can affect that. So, again, not every memory issue that people ask about really reflects one's high risk of developing dementia in the future.
Mm-hmm. So someone is wondering or starting to have concerns, and they would present themselves in your office and say, "Doctor, do I have dementia?" What would you say, or what would the next steps be to answer that question and address the concerns?
Well, there are some formal evaluation things that we use in order to at least increase our confidence in that someone may be actually developing dementia. And there's a part of an exam called a mental status exam. As a part of that examination, you talk to patients about what's their age and their date of birth and family, and then also you would ask questions or present them with some simple things that they should remember, and then have them list those back to me a few minutes later. And you know, if you're 15, you can do that really easy. Mm. When you get to be 70, it isn't quite so simple, but the person, again, who has significant dementia is not going to be able to pull up any of that kind of information. So I think in my experience, having been in a practice here for almost 38 years, mm-hmm. that the fact is I know my patients pretty well. Mm. As you watch them get older and you see these changes take place, that's probably the best clue that you have in that. Mm-hmm. And to help them make the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I've never felt compelled to be quick about adding that. If you came to see me at 40 and I said, "You know, Laura, I'm really concerned that you're developing dementia, and I think we should put you on a drug to treat it," because most of the drugs that are available, first of all, aren't great in preventing dementia. Mm-hmm. Second of all, they have a lot of side effects. And most importantly, they only work temporarily. And so you'd probably initially look at me and say, "Are you sure about that?" You might be really ticked off at me if I suggested at age 40 you were getting dementia. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people who develop more full-blown Alzheimer's as they get older, that's probably sometimes when that starts. There are certain subtypes of dementia where that's certainly the case. And so I think that... If you label somebody with dementia, that totally changes their life. And so I've never felt compelled to be rapid in making that diagnosis for that reason.
We'll be right back with Dr. Horika after we hear from some of the members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and what they offer to our community.
I'm Michelle Sonnabin, a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, and I'm the discharge planner at Benson Hospital. Discharge planning is a service to help you arrange supplies, equipment, and services before you leave the hospital. If you or someone you care about are having problems with memory loss, we encourage you to see your provider at Swift County Benson Health Services. If you are looking for resources in our community on how to care for someone with memory loss, contact Michelle Sonnabin at the Swift County Benson Hospital, 843-1377.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm an RN for Divine Home Care. As a whole, home care workers provide a vital role in helping people with memory loss to remain as independent as possible, enabling them to stay in their familiar surroundings with their family and caregivers. Regardless of why your loved one is experiencing memory loss, we're here to help. We offer a variety of services to provide support to caregivers, families, and those experiencing memory loss. For more information, please contact Divine Home Care at 843-9178 or online at divinehomecare.com.
This is Betty Christensen from the Minnesota River Area Agency on Aging. We are happy to be members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network. Our office assists communities to develop services to help older adults remain in their own home as long as possible. More information can be found by calling our office at 507-387-1256 or on our website at mnraaa.org.
Hi, this is Maggie from Countryside Public Health, where our mission is to facilitate a safe and healthy future for the residents of the counties we serve. I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to learn about dementia as we strive together to improve our understanding of each other and make our community stronger and more supportive of people struggling with memory loss, as well as their caregivers, friends, and families.
We now return for more of Laura's interview with Dr. Richard Horica on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
One thing I think I kind of heard in what you were saying is it is important to be aware of what the individual's normal or sort of baseline looks like to give an idea of if a change, you know, if something really is a warning sign, a change, or if somebody has always forgotten where they put their keys when they get into the house and have to rush to the bathroom.
You know, we all have those issues. And the person who is probably best suited to help us with a patient who is concerned about dementia is their spouse or their child, someone who knows them extremely well and can look back and say, yeah, these things have kind of changed. And they might say, you know, Mom always was, or Dad always was really neat and clean, and his clothes were always clean. And I don't see him taking care of himself quite as well as what he did before. And he doesn't call as often as he did. And so those are some traits that a loved one who has frequent contact with that particular person may notice. So. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things medically, though, that can impact on your memory and on your brain process. I mean, if you are a regular alcohol user, if you smoked a pack a day a bunch of your life, if you are exposed to toxic fumes, if you have a diet that's not very healthy, deficient in vitamins and that sort of thing, there are other treatable causes for memory difficulties that would be really a shame not to identify and act on in that case. I think one of the big ones I see, especially as we get older, is hearing. You know, you don't really know if somebody's hearing or not, but if you're involved in a discussion and all of a sudden you figure out, boy, I don't think Mom or Dad followed that discussion. Well, maybe they didn't hear it very well. We've cleaned a lot of wax out of ears and got people's hearing aids repaired or got them evaluated in that situation.
I think sometimes there can be some hesitancy to talk about concerns, to bring it up. But I think you've just explained a real important reason to bring up the topic, because what looks like memory loss may actually be caused by an environmental factor or something physical that needs to be addressed.
Very much so.
And you were talking a little bit about some of the lifestyle choices that people in their middle age, maybe even younger, make, and how that contributes to becoming a candidate for memory loss. I've heard the phrase, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. And I wonder if you have any thoughts on that.
There's no question that one of the known factors that can lead to dementia are vascular problems. Just like your heart needs blood to function and your heart pumps, it's the pump that does all the work. Well, your brain is served with blood vessels. And unfortunately, the blood vessels might start out pretty good size, but as they flow distally in your brain, they get smaller and smaller. And so in all of us, as we get older, whether we were living the perfect life or not, we tend to develop what's called microvascular disease, where the smaller vessels are the ones that plug up early and cause, if you will, microscopic little strokes that you can't see on a scan or whatever, but they could over time, if there were lots of them, lead to memory issues and other brain dysfunctions. So smoking makes that worse. There's pretty clear evidence alcohol makes that worse. Many drugs that we use. One of the first things I always did with somebody, if they were fairly suddenly increasingly confused, is to make sure the medications they're getting aren't the cause of that, because there are lots of kind of basic meds you might treat high blood pressure or diabetes or thyroid with that can lead to problems like that. So yes, what's good for the heart, if you look at vascular disease, that's the case. Exercise can be helpful. I think we especially with around Valentine's Day, we think about heart and interaction with other people. And I think, too, if you're depressed, if you've become a hermit as you've gotten older because your knees are no longer good and you can't get out, or you don't drive anymore and you don't meet people, all of those things can lead to conditions that look like dementia, but they really aren't. So you got to use your brain in order to keep it healthy. And so if it's not easy to get out, you can read books, you can do crossword puzzles or word puzzles or number puzzles. You can have, nowadays with internet, you can have interactions with people over the internet. My mother, who was in her late 80s, played Scrabble with my daughter almost every day. And my daughter lives in Maine and my mother in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But that was a really good interaction for them. And it was really good for my mom, too, to have that interaction as well. And she wasn't a person who got out that much as she got older. Mm-hmm. So those are all things that we can do that will help our brain work better longer.
So talking about lifestyle choices, exercising, being mindful of what we're eating, that can seem real overwhelming, right? I have to totally overhaul my life, and then I just say, nope, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Instead, what are two or three maybe small changes that I could start with that would still set me on the track to brain health?
There are other ways in which you can exercise without going to the fitness center to do that. So walking. And if you got bad knees or it's icy like it is today, you can walk in your house. I encourage people to go to one of the larger stores in Benson, the grocery stores or the hardware store. They don't mind you walking in there. And it's not a matter of walking 20 or 30 miles. It's a matter of walking 15 to 20 minutes. And so that can be very helpful for you physically, aerobically, but also mentally. So,
well, and if you think about the social piece, I know it's hard to get out of the grocery store without seeing two or three folks I know.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I could be getting my exercise and having the social box checked off.
You bet.
Picking up some healthful foods, too.
If your favorite position is sitting in the chair in front of the TV, and if you're like me and you nod off a lot, that isn't doing your mental status very much good. Mm-hmm. So interacting with the television and something that's stimulating, you know, maybe it's a nature show, something you really enjoy, anything where you are not just staring at it, that you're actually interacting back and forth with.
Sure.
And in that way, there are a lot of things that maybe the internet has not done us a lot of good with, but there certainly is, it certainly has made people who can't get out very well to more easily connect and connect, especially with people that they know and they trust. And that's important. Connect with people that you know and that you trust. They have the credentials and you know about them that you can trust them. There's all kinds of garbage on all those sites that you just have to help sort through.
Memory loss affects everyone in our community in one way or another. Let's hear a little bit more about what's available in our community.
Cares Health Rice Hospice understands how important it is for a hospice patient to live with comfort and dignity. Through skilled nursing care, counseling, support, and education, we help patients and families live each day with meaning and purpose. Programs like We Honor Veterans, Sentimental Journey, Pet Therapy, Massage Therapy, and Music Services can help add life today. Caris Health Rice Hospice serves a 15-county area and has a satellite office in Benson. Visit carishealth.com/hospice.
Prairie 5 Community Action Council provides aging services to Swift County. We have Alzheimer's Association and AARP community educators for memory loss presentations and written resources. We offer caregiver consultations, Medicare counseling, a tablet lending library, and user services. If you have questions or concerns on aging, don't hesitate to call me, Laura Thomas, at 320-226-2000. 8861. Service is funded in part by a grant from the Southwest Initiative Foundation.
My name is Shelley Versable with Lutheran Social Service. Caregivers who are caring for someone 60 years of age or older, certified caregiver coaches provide personal caregiver coaching and counseling, help with referrals, education, trainings, emergency care planning, caregiver support groups, grief and loss discussion groups, and regular phone call check-ins. Please consider teaming up with LSS to become a community volunteer today. Your local coordinator phone number is 507-829-3298 and visit our website at lssmn.org.
If you're considering home health care services to assist with personal care, household cleaning, or home nursing, or want to transition into assisted living and don't know where to begin, contact Swift County Human Services to set up a MnChoices assessment. The MnChoices assessment can help determine the services you may be eligible for, assist with access to those services, and identify public programs that might cover those costs. It can also identify other options if you don't qualify for more publicly funded programs. To see if you're eligible, call Swift County Human Services at 843-3160.
Scandi Haven Village, located in Benson, provides a safe and comfortable living environment for anyone needing specialized memory care services. Our memory care unit offers safe and secure apartments, along with the central dining, living room common areas, and daily activities. Scandi Haven Village has a caring, supportive, and well-trained staff to provide your loved ones with the care they need. For more information or to have a tour, please call Jane Tilkey at 320-843-4728. Scandi Haven Village. Caring for those who cared for us.
We now return for the conclusion of Laura's interview with Dr. Richard Horica on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
Do you have one or two small changes to the diet that you might suggest for brain health?
I think if your diet is heavy in saturated fat, although that's questionable right now, if that's also bad. I think if you have a diet that's varied and includes a moderate amount of protein, includes some carbohydrates, and includes foods that are high in vitamins and minerals like vegetables, that I think that is probably the most helpful in as far as promoting your health is concerned.
Dr. Horica, I do need to put a plug in here for the Prairie 5 meals.
Yes.
A person is also able to order frozen meals in a bundle. They can choose the entree, and it's all for a small suggested donation.
I'm sure that I recommended that program to several patients every day.
Well, thank you for that. So what practical information would you like to share with our listeners? You have decades of experience, and I'm sure...
That's a long time.
I'm sure there were times when you thought, gosh, if only I could grab a microphone and tell everybody this, that's what I'd say. Well, here's your opportunity.
It becomes, unfortunately, very obvious as time passes that some people will develop dementia, and it's pretty easy to see that. I think one of the things that we often forget about, unless you've cared for a person like this, is just that. The caregiver is very, very important. And many times that's the biggest challenge, and it's the reason that someone isn't able to stay in their home anymore is that either they don't have a caregiver anymore, or the amount of care that that parent or relative requires is greater than what one person can provide. There's a book written many years called The 36-Hour Day that I've recommended many times. I'm sorry, I can't remember the author's name, but that's available in the library, I know, as one way to learn about that. I think there are services that we can help provide people when they are in that situation, but sometimes that caregiver is a silent sufferer. They're not going to say anything, and when you get them in the clinic, you kind of forget about that as well. So I always urge that people have that in mind, that it's a lot of work and it's very challenging. It's work of love. There's no question about that. But yet it's difficult sometimes for that to happen. The other thing is to be aware of their nutrition. Again, that's a big issue. Many people with dementia, they kind of fade away over time because they kind of eventually forget to eat or quit eating or not interested in eating. And so that's an issue as well, to do the best you can to support those folks, especially when they're in the home situation. So remember that support system close to home many times are better. So The last thing is, I don't know that everybody needs a formal neurological evaluation to either make sure we haven't missed a treatable cause or we aren't making it worse by some treatment that we're offering. Another thing I forgot, urinary tract infections are an amazing cause of worsening dementia. And so especially in older folks, and especially women in that case, I mean, urinary tract infections will often not be symptomatic, but someone who is functioning very well mentally all of a sudden is out in left field, and you check a urine and the urine's full of bacteria.
So if some of those warning signs or symptoms, what appears to be memory loss, shows up, boy, is it important to address that and to have that checked out, because it may be something that can, like you said, a UTI or some loss of hearing that can be managed.
Yes, very much so. So it does two things. If it is the masquerader of dementia, you can solve that problem. But in the case of somebody who may have dementia, there's no question that addressing those issues improves their quality of life and improves their ability to remain independent for longer periods of time, if that's the case.
Well, this has been a wonderful learning experience for us. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our wonderful listeners in Benson and beyond?
You know, there's tons of research involved in looking at treatments and causes of dementia. Don't smoke. Don't drink heavily. Be careful with the drugs that you choose. Those are much more important things, I think, right now for the average person to think about.
So, Eat a varied diet.
A healthy, varied diet.
Get
out and visit with people. Yeah, that's for sure. Great talking with all of you about this. And it's a condition that's all too common, and hopefully you'll understand better. I have to give credit to the Mayo Clinic. They have an excellent educational website, and there is a discussion of dementia in there that kind of goes through most of what we talked about really well, and it's written in a non-medical terminology language. So that's always been one of my favorite recommendations for people, is to look at the Mayo Clinic website. And there's other good clinics as well, but that one's a local, kind of close to home. And it's very, very well done.
And wonderful that it's in terms that the average reader can understand. It's not jargon.
Right.
Dr. Horica, I know I speak on behalf of not only the members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, but also all the residents of Benson and beyond that have tuned in. We sure do appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge and expertise and practical tips with us today.
It's very much my pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'd like to thank Dr. Horica again for spending time with us. He mentioned hearing loss, and that made me think of the Minnesota State Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services, as they offer a variety of free and low-cost assistive technology. When he mentioned the importance of eating a healthful, diverse diet, well, Prairie 5 Meals popped right into mind. They have hot and frozen meals available, and the Swift County Food Shelf is also always available for those that need. And finally, the Alzheimer's Association has a variety of wonderful written materials and presentations, including one specifically about the 10 warning signs of memory loss, and it compares them with normal aging-related changes. So if you'd like information on that, please reach out to the Alzheimer's Association at 1-800-272-3900. Again, that's 1-800-272-3900. Now, on our next show, we will hear from certified nurse practitioner Sue Zeck, who will share information about caregiving in the home, communicating concerns about memory loss with healthcare providers, and whether a home or facility placement may be best for an individual based on their needs. I'm Laura Thomas, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks for a Shining a Light on Memory Loss right here on KSCR.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network thanks you for joining us today. Please reach out to any member with questions, concerns, or for more information. You may also call the Alzheimer's Association at 800-272-3900. This line is answered 24/7 by a master's level clinician.